Word of God. Amen. I'm so blessed to be in the house of God today. And with us, we have a man that has come all the way from Africa. Amen. My friend, Pastor Muniu, talked to me about, a month ago. They had a conference in their church, and but for some reasons, I was not able to go because of some commitments here and there. But today, you shall have a little bit of taste of what, let me not say a little bit, you shall have a great taste of what they experienced. But just before we hear the word of God, I'd like to welcome our sister Wanja to come and tell us what the Lord has done. Amen. Please come here, my sister. Can you all appreciate our sister even as she comes? Amen, amen. How many know this is the woman of God here? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. I have no words that I can explain what the Lord has done in my life and in our family's life. All I know is that my God is unstoppable. My God is unshakable. In every situation, just give all the glory to God. And when the Lord speaks to you, even if it does not make sense, go ahead and do it. I remember last week on Friday, Evangelist Noel called me and told me that Bishop Waroi is going to be around and she's going to go and meet him. And when she told me that, I did not want to know if she was inviting me to go or not. I told her that I am going. And when I went and met the bishop, the Lord put in my spirit and I planted a seed for my brother, of which I did not know what the Lord was about to do or what my brother was going to go through. That was on Friday. And on Sunday, my brother at night got sick. He was taken to the hospital. And we were called on Monday at around 2 o'clock. And we were told that my brother is about to die, that every organ of his body is shutting down. All I knew is to take a flight and go and see him. So we took a flight with my brother and went to Pennsylvania. That is where he is. And when we went there and we saw how he is, he was on life support machines. And all the numbers that were on the machine didn't look right. And I did not know how to pray from there. But I thank God for the seed that I planted on Friday, because it spoke for us. And Tuesday, the doctor called us for a conference and told us this does not look good, because they were giving him 100% of oxygen. The normal percentage is between 90, and 90 is to the low to 100. My brother's was at about 86. His heart rate was about 140-something. His respiration were 40-something. Everything looked to go down. And then when the doctor came and talked to us, my brother said, is there, because they're Catholics, they said, is there a father who can come and pray? Because they believe that when somebody is dying as a Catholic, that you can be given a communion, your last communion. So that is why my brother was asking for the father. And he said that there is. So at the end of it all, my brother told me, can we pray? And asked even the doctor who is there to pray. We pray with us. And he said, yes, we prayed a prayer of agreement. And I thank God, because my brother told me to pray. I don't know, in my spirit I felt, thank goodness you've given me this opportunity. Because when I prayed, I told God, you are the Lord who has created us. You have every spare part of our body. I ask that, Lord, you may bring a spare part for my brother. I know it is not making sense right now, but I know, my God, you're able to do it. I prayed and I told God, my God, you are the God who has given these doctors wisdom. Now I pray in the name of Jesus that you may give them wisdom to give him a medication that will work with him. I tell you, before God, within 3 hours, they came up with a medication. It turned everything around. My brother from there, his number started looking right. But I thank God for each and every person who prayed with us. No matter even if you didn't pray and you just remembered and you just said, oh, it was a touch that you touched the throne of grace. And from there, my brother started making a progress, a little progress. From 100, he was being given oxygen 100%. They started giving him at night 80%. I told my brothers and his wife and a few people who were there, every step we shall make, every progress we shall make, we are going to give a praise. We are going to give a shabok praise to the God that I serve. And we went on praying that every moment my brother made, it reached a point they were getting tired of me. I didn't want to know, but I knew that I would raise a praise because of what the Lord is doing. I tell you today, as I stand here, my brother is not having a life support machine. I know that my God that I serve is a true God. Right now when we were praying, the Spirit of the Lord put something in me. Check your phone. Even my husband does not know this. I checked my phone right now when we were praying. The message that I received is that my brother is sitting in a chair. My God, that Lord, I give all the glory to the God I serve because he is able to change situations. All I ask of you is that know how to plant the seed. Know where you're planting your seed. Don't plant it to any ground, but plant it to the ground that shall grow. I'm giving all the glory to God. It's not me. It is not any person, but all the glory goes to the Most High God. Even now, for that he has done, I give him all the glory. I give him the praise because my brother will give a testimony of what God can do because he has taken him from the pit of hell and raised him to be a servant after God's own heart. I give all the glory to God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Our God is able. Glory to Jesus. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. If God can do for our sister Anne's brother, he can come also for our situations. In Jesus' name, amen. We give him the glory. Let's keep praying, keep travailing on behalf of that brother so that he can come to the Lord. Amen. I'm so excited to have the man of God with us, and I just don't want to spend any more time. You come and tell us about his ministry, and it's just an honor to have you, Reverend Matthew Wambua. Please, can you welcome together with me to the microphone to come and bring us the word of the Lord? Amen. Can you welcome him with a hand, please? Amen.
And good afternoon. It's afternoon. Well, let me say good morning. Because where I come from, we say it's good morning until we have lunch. Amen. I want to appreciate the opportunity that your pastor has given me today to be here. It's a risk, which is dangerous. I am a pastor, and I know that sometimes, of course, pastors, we are very jealous and selfish about our pulpits, and for a good reason. You don't want to expose the people of God to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I say every Thomas, Dixon, and Harrison who shows up. You want to be careful because our job is to defend and to protect the flock. So for you, Pastor Tony, to allow me to be here and to speak from your pulpit is an honor, and I really appreciate you and your family. God bless you so much for having me here. My name is Matthew Kavoy Wambua, and if you have a little bit of history and some familiarity with Kenya, then you may guess where I come from. I was born in a village called Kiteinyei. That means a place where there are no thieves. That's where I was born and bred. And went to Nairobi some 20 plus years down the road. And fast forward, I've lived in Nairobi, and right now I'm pastoring a church in the Eastlands of Nairobi, Kenya. A place called Donholm that also may be familiar with some of you. And before I went to Donholm, I was serving at Deliverance Church in Umoja under a man of God called Bishop Dr. John Brown Masinde. That's my spiritual dad. I am sure probably you know him. He's a famous guy. And he is my pastor. I served him for 18 good years until some 5 years ago, I was planted in Dunholm. I am married to one wife, and I want to say one wife. Her name is Nancy Mugeshi for the last 20, coming to 22 years now. Amen. So don't be fooled by my looks. I'm not too young. And I have two beautiful daughters, Kathleen and Shalom. They are 19 and 17. That kind of just makes up my family. I've been a pastor of DC Dunham for 5 years now. And by the grace of God, we've been able to grow and see the favor of God in Dunham, experience the blessing of God in our place. We are around about going to 2,200 people right now, and we bless the Lord. We started off with just one service. Now we are having three services by the grace of God. So my plate is full and overflowing. I've been here for the last 1 month. That will be 1 month tomorrow. Tomorrow Tuesday. That's how long I've been in the U.S. My first time ever. And I'm having a great time, by the way. Thank you very much for the time and the guys that have hosted me. Pastor Munyu and his wife Lillian are great friends of mine. I'm sure you know them. I actually canceled them. As in canceled, not canceled. before they got married, and they're great friends. I took care of Lillian. She was in my youth group for quite a number of years, and of course moved on to get married to Samson, and I bless the Lord. They are doing a great work. Where is that? Preston somewhere? Someplace in Dallas. And that's they're the ones that asked me to come over and just spend some time with them and doing ministry. And I've been having a great, great, great time in this place. I fly out tomorrow. I fly out tomorrow, and boy, am I looking forward to go back home to my family and I guess to some more familiar ground. Amen. I want to appreciate Francis. He's famously known as FC. I have no idea whether he's known here, but now you know him, he's FC. That means Francis Chuchu Kangere. He also happened to be in my youth group, known him for many years, and worked with him in the church until he came over this way 13 some years ago, and we got reconnected. He's been taking me around, and he has done a great job. I appreciate you. Thank you very much, sir. May the good Lord bless you. Amen. Once again, let me say thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I want to assume that's your wife. Please, I wasn't introduced, so please don't. Yes, and so it's really an honor and a joy to be here today. I'm hoping that, and I trust that by the grace of God, we will be blessed as we look into the Word of God. I am a worshiper, by the way. I love singing. Can I sing a song? Is that all right? Okay, I love singing. And I would just, can I have the young men that are just playing this piano come? I hope we can work together because this is just a song of worship. Sometimes I do this either because I'm a bit of some nervousness, and so I try to sing and calm my nerves down, and also I try to sing to try to kind of just set a good atmosphere for myself. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Good. Thank you for that wonderful testimony. That's great. I mean, I bless the Lord for that. That really is powerful. And I appreciate that. I'm singing a song of worship. There is not a God like him. I mean, not a God created by human hands, but he is our God. Amen? And I invite you to sing. Maybe you know the song. If you don't know, it's okay. You can follow through. I really hope that you know it because it's a simple song. Let me get it from my iPad somewhere so that I don't miss my lines. Huh? Praise God. Buenas, if you will. That means praise God in where I come from. I'm just not assuming everybody's from Kenya here. But if you are from Kenya, wa Kenya mpo? Wa Kenya oye? Oh, whew. Feel like I'm on familiar ground now. Yes. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. And you are not a God in need of any mortal man. You are God. That's the way you are. Try and see. Let me just see how it sounds. Okay. Just get that song, yeah. Thank you. Come on, come on. Where are you? It's on the screen too? Well, thank you very much. That means you can sing along. Okay. It's a lovely song that I sing. I was actually a worship pastor. That's what I knew to do, by the way. Preaching was aside. I was a worship pastor in worship for all those years. That's all I did. And so I'm at home just singing and worshiping. Amen. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plans. That's just the way it is. You're the only God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are the only God whose power man can contend. You are the only God whose name and praise will never end. You are the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, that's just the way it is. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, on your throne, you are God alone. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. Yeah, you're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. One more time. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. Lord, we bless you. We worship you today. I invite the Holy Ghost to take over. Take over. I don't want to speak to these people. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to them. In a few minutes that we got, you speak a word in their hearts and encourage your people today. Praise and honor and glory will be to your beautiful and wonderful name. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. God's people say it, amen. 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 Thank you, sir. I'm just doing that great job. Well, I had my notes well thought through and prepared to come and just share what I thought I wanted to share. But I feel just sensing the presence of God and what the Holy Spirit is doing in this church now. I just want to share something that's from my heart. Is that all right? So if I find like I'm groping from one point to another, please don't judge me. I've been to college. They trained me on homiletics and hermeneutics. That's how to preach. And how to have a three-point sermon and preach and sound good. But I feel I want to speak from my heart. I just feel this. It's something that God just started up in my spirit as I was seated there in the course of worship and just standing here before you. And please allow me to just speak from my heart. Is that all right? Yes. Let's go into the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. I will read from, verse 11 is good for me. Exodus chapter 33, verses number 11. could start, let's start with 12. That's all right. It says, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you. And if that's your Bible, you may want to underscore that statement, so I may know you. Because that's what I've titled, what I'm titling, what I'm sharing with you today. And continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the people on the face of the earth, that I may know you? Now, this is Moses who's having some amazing conversation with God. If I just may give you a little recap right there, is Moses has gone to on the mountain, been with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and comes down and finds that the people have messed and sinned against God. They have molded a calf and began to bow before it to worship it. And Moses, angry, so angry actually, just put this same animal or idol into the fire, crushed it and into powder. I mean, this guy really needed some anger management lessons. And he put it in water and he forced the people to drink it. That's how serious he was. But then in this passage where we just read, he has been invited by God into the tent and they are having this conversation. They're having this talk with Moses. And if you just one scripture before what we read, verse 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young heir, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So now, Moses is one man that is given to talk to God face to face. And that's what scripture tells us. And in this passage, you're having this conversation, you know, and Moses says a very amazing thing. He says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor. That amazes me. Because remember, this is Moses, the man who saw the burning bush. Okay, and it was not burning. I don't know if that's good English. It's a burning bush that is not burning. And right there, he's having conversation with God. God tells him, Moses, come, I want to talk to you. Please remove your shoes and get close. And they begin to talk. And God tells Moses, I'm sending you into Egypt. It's time to deliver my people from 400 years of bondage. I have come down. I've seen their pain. I have seen their suffering. And I want to come and deliver them. And you've been the man that I've chosen to do that, to discharge that responsibility. And Moses says, no, God, I'm not able to do this. Come on. Find yourself somebody else who can be able to do this job. And he argues with God until God just actually finds him, Aaron, and says, okay, he will go with you. He will be your prophet and so on. Well, in scripture, we don't see where Aaron actually played that role. Moses still was up to the task because God enabled him. But then he goes into Egypt, and you know the story. He's having this conversation with Pharaoh every time they confront each other. And he's telling him, I am on a mission. God sent me to demand, to ask it to let his people go. And Pharaoh would harden his heart and so on and so forth and back forth and back forth. And Moses performed one miracle after another. I mean, he threw down his stick and it became a snake. I'm sure I'm walking on familiar ground with you here. And he called all sorts of things, turned the River Nile into blood, called frogs, and literally there were frogs all over the place that some were jumping into Pharaoh's bed. All over the place there were Pharaoh's darkness and stuff. And of course, the last one was to literally kill every firstborn of the Egyptians. And of course, you know the story. Pharaoh released them to go. And so they get to the Red Sea. There's this sea right before them. And behind them is the enemy coming. And they are hemmed from every direction. And the children of Israel begin to riot and make noise. And Moses goes to God. And God tells him, Moses, what are you making all this noise about? Just go do something. You have what it takes to get the job done. And he goes, he throws the stick. And you know the story. The Red Sea parted into two. And guys walked on dry ground. And across to the other side, and God delivered them. Praise God. That's a God we serve, isn't it? A God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. I wish I had in the right church right here. He is able to do this. And Moses is seeing these miracles that God is performing one day after another, one moment after another, one time after another, one miracle after another. He's seeing the power of God. Hey, Moses has seen so much of God, ladies and gentlemen, that if there's somebody who knew God, then Moses knew God. Come on now. The Bible says he talked to him face to face. They had conversation. I mean, they talked to one another. They were friends with God. Amen. It says right there that to others, God said, I talked to them through dreams and visions. But to Moses, I talked to him face to face. In other words, he doesn't need to sleep to dream. I will talk to him because he is that close to me. If you read in the book of Psalms 103, the Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God. But Israel knew the works of God. There is a difference. Because see, oftentimes we want to relate with God by what God can do. That's why back home we sing the song, Tembea, tembea, buwana, tembea, tukuone, kono wa buwana, nimeuona leo. You know, we want to see the hand of God. In other words, we want to see God at work, doing stuff for us, performing miracles and healing the sick, delivering the bound, and that's powerful. That's great. But Moses knew the ways of God. In other words, he knew how God talks. He knew how God does stuff. He knew when God is moving. He knew God face. How many of you know, if you want to know me, you will not know me by looking at my hands. You will know me by looking at my face. And Moses in this place says, God, I have seen it all. I have seen you work a miracle after another, perform one miracle after another, perform another miracle. You parted the Red Sea. God, I bless your name. I lift you up. You're the God who was not created by human hands. You're high and mighty. You're powerful. Oh, I saw you give manna in the wilderness and give water out of a rock. Lord, you have done great things. Blessed be your name. But he says, no, as much as I'd be so good, Lord, there's something about you that I still need to keep on digging on, drawing close, because, Lord, I don't want to know you by what you're able to do. I want to know you by who you are. He says, Lord, I want to know you. Read that scripture one more time. He tells God, Lord, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Moses, come on. All this time, 33 chapters of a book of Exodus, you've been working one miracle after another. You've been talking to God day and night. You have not yet known the ways of God. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I want to submit to you that the more you draw close to God, the more you realize there is more about him that you do not know. The closer you get to him, the more you desire to know him more. And Moses is saying, Lord, see, one of the things that we need to understand, I think we are living in a season where the body of Christ must come to the place of stopping to relate with God by just what he can do, by the money he supplies, by everything he's able to do, but begin to go deeper and say, wait a minute, there's something more about God I want to know. I don't just want to see a miracle. I don't just want to have provision. I want you. I want God. It's him I want. I seek to know him. I seek to embrace him. I seek to know his ways. I seek to love him more. We've related with God so superficially. But Moses is saying, I've seen it all, Lord. You've supplied my needs. You've met me at the point of every time I needed you, Lord, you moved. Every time we needed a miracle, God, you did a miracle. Every time, Lord, we needed you to fight our battles, you fought our battles. But Lord, that's not all I want about you. There is more in you than I'm experiencing. I need you to teach me how you move. I need you to teach me about yourself, God, because I don't just want to see your miracles. It's you I want. Amen. Glory to God. Moses prays an amazing prayer after seeing the miracles and the works and the manifestations of God in his life. He says, "I, Lord, teach me your ways." In other words, all that you've been doing, maybe it's just some trisex, oh God. Maybe we've just been warming up. I come to realize you're beautiful. I've come to realize you're glorious. I've come to realize you're powerful. I've come to realize you are mightier than any. I've come to realize you're greater than the greatest. I've come to realize you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. I come to realize you're a God that I just cannot begin to understand. So Lord, I am humbled at your feet. I'm humbled before you, Lord. And what I want you to do, oh God, is to teach me your ways. Teach me how you move. Teach me how to do stuff. Teach me who you are. Because it's you I want. It's you I want. The ladies that are married here, you know when you got married to that man, he may have lots of money. He may provide and pay the rent and pay the bills. But it's him that you married. Talk to me now. It's him that you need. Because we've men that are absent. You know, a man told his wife, "Hey, I've given you a car. I've bought you a house. I pay the bills. I've bought you a big TV. Everything you need, I've given it to you. And I told you that I loved you when I married you. So if I change my mind, I will tell you." So in other words, I don't need to tell you I love you every time. If I change my mind that I didn't love you, then I will tell you then. But ladies, you know you need this guy at home. Yeah, come on now. Come, stop becoming all too beautiful for me now. Hello. It's a guy you married. It's him you need. You need his fellowship. You need him there. Hello. You don't want him coming at night and just knocking at the door. And you know, it's him you want. You want him to be with you, walk with you, watch TV with you, talk to me, girls. You want the man. He may provide all things that you need, but you did not marry things. You did not marry a TV. You did not marry a car. It's a piece of metal. You married a man. Come on now. That's him you want. And I think that's what Moses is saying in this story. Saying, "God, you've done all these things. You've provided. You've done miracles. Oh, God. But that's wonderful. That great. And this just shows me how wonderful, how beautiful, how lovely you are. So I want to know you, Lord. I really want to know you. Draw me close." We sing the song. Let me come to the place of embracing you, or knowing you better than I know you right now. I want to walk deeper into you, God. I pray that the church of today will get to the place of hungering and desiring for more of God, more of his presence, more of his power, more of his Holy Spirit. We've had enough of the miracles and enough of the riches. What we want is God. And I pray that, ladies and gentlemen, we will come up to the place of saying with Moses, "Lord, you are a provider. I already know. Lord, you can heal. I already know. Lord, you can meet my needs. I already know. But I'm not interested in just what you can do. I'm interested in who you are. I want to know you. I want to embrace you. I want to experience you. I want to love you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be close to you. I want to be friends with you." And I see a God that steps into churches, and God doesn't see people that long and hunger and desire for him. I want to dare you, ladies and gentlemen, if you come to the place of saying, "Where I am, I want to go deeper into God. Where I am, I want to know him better. Where I am, I want to go closer with God than I've ever been before." That God is willing to reveal himself in your life in a way and in a manner that you've never seen him before. I pray that God to raise up people in the house of God that are willing to switch off their TVs, that are willing to stop their cars, that are willing to say, "Lord, I want you. More of you, Lord. I long and I desire after you." And Moses says, "Lord,
teach me your ways. In other words, it's a cry. It's a desire of the worshiper down deep in Moses that is saying, Lord, you are so special. You're so wonderful. And I want to know how to please you. Teach me your ways, Lord. How do you speak? How do you move, Lord? Because I want to know you. And listen to what Moses says, because I know when I know you, I will continue to experience your favor, find favor with you. In other words, I will not need to keep on crying for healing. I will not need to keep on desiring other stuff. All I need is to seek your kingdom. All I need is to seek your face. All I need is to draw close to you, because I know when we are friends, I know when I'm close to you, oh God, favor will follow me wherever I go. When I step into a place, favor will step. Wherever I go, favor will be my portion. It's in the Bible that says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. Can I say, seek first the king and his domain, and he, these things will follow. I believe we are living in the season where the body of Jesus Christ must stop seeking after stuff and begin to seek after the king, begin to long after him. To tell him, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me how you move, oh God. I want to know you. I want to experience. I want to embrace you, oh God. I want to love you more. I want to worship you deeper. I want to walk closer to you, oh God, because I know I will not need to cry after nothing. I will not need to cry after favor will follow me all the days of my life. Wherever I go, favor. Favor will follow me. Moses knew the secret to experience the favor of God was to know him, was to draw close to him. Oh, churches, I believe in the States maybe it's different. But back home, we become so materialistic. We want stuff, we want to get rich, and there's nothing wrong with that. I teach on prosperity because it's in scripture. I'll tell you that. But you know what? I feel the time comes when we must come to the place of praying this prayer with Moses and telling God, God, I've seen it all. There's no miracle. I have not seen, but I'm not after miracles, oh God. I want to know you. I want to know you because I know I will not need to seek after stuff. Stuff will follow me. Why? Because when I know you and continue to know you, to seek after you, I will find favor. I will find favor with you. He says in verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. In other words, Moses is so keen not only to see the power and the things that God wants to do and follow through the plan of God, but he's so keen to know that the presence of God is going with him. He doesn't want to dare to step into any situation or to dare to step into any challenge or conflict without knowing that the presence of God is with him. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, what makes a difference between you as a believer and somebody else is nothing else but the presence of God. And if you're not walking in the presence of God, then you're not different with anyone. No, you're not different. Because he says, how will people know that you're with us? How will they know? Because he says right there, Lord, Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased? How will anyone see the favor of God upon your life? How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else? I love this. Will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth. What will distinguish the heathen out there? What will distinguish the sinner and the saint except the presence of God? I believe we are living in the season, ladies and gentlemen, when we must begin to manifest the presence of God in the house of the Lord, and not only in the house of God, but wherever we are. Why? Because it is by manifesting his presence that people will begin to know the difference. Hallelujah. They will know the difference because the presence of God is being manifest in your life. They will look at you and they realize you're different. Why? Because God is with you. Hallelujah. When you pray with them, something happens. I'm so glad. That's why I was saying a lot of her testimony. That she steps out in a hospital and right there stuff begins to happen because God's presence is with her. And she knows the God that she serves. And she's not ashamed to manifest him wherever she is. I came to tell somebody in this place, it doesn't matter that you're in a foreign country. Am I talking to Kenyans right here? You're here and you're here now. It's your season and time to begin to manifest God's presence wherever you are. Sometimes we belittle ourselves so much without knowing that what makes a difference is the presence of God. It's not color. It's not your education. It's not where you came from. Come on now. You may be coming from a far away village that I came from, Kitenge, a place that are not thieves, but I refuse to be bound by where I came from. I refuse to be bound by who I used to be. I've made up my mind wherever I am, I'm a man of God. The presence of God goes with me, and I stand out as a child of God. Doesn't matter whether you're yellow, you're red, you're white, or you're black. My take is this, wherever I am, I represent the kingdom, and I will be mighty and great like David. He was a small man facing a big man, and when he stepped forward, he knew that God was in him. God's presence, that's what made the difference. His brothers, his colleagues, all the other guys that were fighting against the Philistines, they were cowed, they were scared. But David steps forward and there is something different about this person. Why? Because the presence of God is with David. And David says, who is this person? Why? The young man knew he was. He knew where he came from. He knew the God that he served. And was able to look at Goliath in the face and tell him, your head is mine today. It doesn't matter what you carry. It doesn't matter how big you are. I came to tell somebody in this house, listen to me. Doesn't matter the size of your challenge. It doesn't matter what you face today. It doesn't matter that you're in a foreign nation. I don't care how you came here. I want you to understand, if you're a child of God, washed by the blood, and Christ is with you, wherever you go, you need to walk as a child of God. You need to talk as a child of God. You need to walk as a child of God. You need to say, I represent the heavenly kingdom. And you need to step out and let the enemy know that there is a child of God in the house. Satan should not celebrate. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what size of demons you're called upon to fight. When God is on your side, when God is on your side, it doesn't matter the size of the enemy. When the presence of God goes with you, oh my goodness, you will speak and things will happen. You will speak and stuff will begin to turn around. You will be the answer in that company. I am prophesying right now. You'll be the answer in that business. You'll be the answer in that hospital. You will speak and things will begin to turn around. And people will realize you are not just an African. You are not just a Kenyan. You are a Kenyan who has the presence of God with them. Glory be to God. How will they know that you are with me? How will the world know that God is with you? I came to declare it's about that time, that season, when we must declare the word of the Lord. When we must declare to the world that the God we serve is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. There is no force that he cannot destroy. There's no miracle that he cannot perform. There is no power that can stand before him. That's the God we serve. Hey, don't want to be like the Israelites when they're just about to enter the promised land and suddenly they face these people and they say, man, we went in there, everything is like God said, but these guys are so big and we look to them like grasshoppers even in our own eyes, and so are we before him. I came to declare you are not a grasshopper. When God is on your side, you are bigger than any mountain. You are bigger than any person. You are power and authority. Hey! How will they know? What will distinguish me and your people and all these people on the face of the earth is the presence. The presence of God made manifest. Isn't it about time, ladies and gentlemen, when we need to begin to manifest God's presence? Oh, Jesus. You know what? I refuse to be normal, Pastor. I choose to be abnormal. I refuse to be ordinary. I choose to be extraordinary. Come on now. As a child of God, when you have the resources that you have in the kingdom of God, you can't walk down the streets of Dallas like a random chicken. You've got to step up boldly like David and say, I have seen a lion die in my hands. I have seen a bear die in my hands. And even this challenge, I will face it on in the name of Jesus, because we're here to declare thy kingdom come. And that will be done. Hallelujah. Moses knew that he needed to go with the presence of God. And I want you to understand, we cannot just live a normal sort of life. Everything is just cool. I'm having a nice home, nice job, and I'm in America. Everything is, you know, we chase after the American dream. I want you to understand, you represent a kingdom. And you got to step out as a kingdom person. You got to be like Moses and say, fine, Lord, we can go in and just fight our way. But we need your presence to go, because we must manifest your presence. It makes a difference. It makes a difference that I may know him. Let me show you somebody else, because my time is spent in the same. In the book of Psalms, I want to show you another man that knew the secret of experiencing God and the secret of favor. The secret of the blessing of God in his life. His name is David. In Psalm 27. Here's what he says. I love this. I'll read this and I will finish this psalm and then we are done. David is speaking to God. Pastor, I think there's a towel in that bag. Yes. On the other pocket. The other pocket. The front one. Says, the Lord is my light, Psalm 27, and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an enemy besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even I will be confident. And I love number four. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only I seek, that I may dwell. Listen, one thing, he says, one thing I ask from the Lord. And this is the only thing I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And to seek him in his temple. Look at what he says after that. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. In other words, even when I face challenges in my life, because I've learned to dwell in the presence of God, God will watch over me. Ah, talk to me now. I'm going to have you know that when you're a friend of God, the devil must be scared of you. When you've learned to walk in the presence of God and to make God your friend, the devil has nothing on you. The devil cannot dare to touch. Why? Because you are close to God. You are a friend. That's why we sing the song, I'm a friend of God. Quoting Abraham and the fact that he was a friend of God. And watch what God does in his life. Now David says, one thing I ask for from the Lord. And this is the thing that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. You could paraphrase that as in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, in other words, because I've learned, and when I've learned to walk and stay in the presence of God, when trouble comes knocking at the door, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. That's David penning this wonderful psalm right there. And like sort of just lending weight and credence to the desire that we see in Moses to seek after God and to desire to know him and experience his presence. Because David knows, and you can read a psalm after another. He says in another place that as a deer pants for the water, my soul longs and thirsts for you, Lord. In other words, there's nothing that will quench my thirst but your presence. Oh God, I talk with a church back home, and this is what you experience, that hey, people are so shallow with the days when we sought God and the days when we spend hours and days on end on our faces, the days when we saw the glory of God made manifest in our lives, that long gone, and it's like just dry. You step into the house, you walk out of the house, and you're the same person. But I've refused to be the same person. My prayer and desire is anybody walking through the doors of our church will not go out the same way, because I want to see God in the morning. I want to see God in the evening. I want to experience him, because I know when I experience him, he'll experience him. My desire is that the house of God can be a refreshing place, a place where people tap to God, where they experience his power, where they experience his refreshing. People are wounded and people are hurting, and the place where they want to experience healing is in the house of God. I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, God will begin to start up a design the hearts of many in this place. Say, it's time to seek God until we find him. It's time to get on our faces. It's time to switch off our TVs and to switch off our DVDs and to switch off our phones and get on our faces, on our knees, and seek God until we find him. Because God is able to do stuff. God is able to heal. God is able to deliver. God is able to use you to touch this nation. God, I wish I had a church in here. God is able to use you, but he's looking for a man and a woman that will get on their knees and say, Lord, I want nothing else but you. I want no one else but you, Lord. I want your touch. I want your presence. I want your spirit walking in me, oh God. I want no one else but you. And Jeremiah says that you will find him if you will seek him with all of your heart. God is seeking for people that will seek him. You know, crazy people that went to Karura, Pastor, and spent weeks and days on end. They are losing their weight. They are not even having a shower. But they are so mad. They want God so much. So much. But what have you become? As long as I go to a nice little church and we sing some light little music here, a nice little sermon, and then go home and have a nice little meal, watch a nice little program on TV, we can have a nice little life. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, we are not about stuff. We are about a kingdom. If you're born again and washed by the blood, God is asking, I want to use you. But where are you? You got to come to the place of seek him and find him. Because when you find him, you will find a solution for your neighbor. You will find a solution for your place of work. You find a solution for your nation. You will find a solution. David says, one thing I long for, one thing I desire is to seek you, Lord. What I want is you. Because I know when I've found you, like Moses, his favor, his blessings, his power, his spirit, will be released in your life. I'm finishing. Psalm 91, I'll finish with that. Psalm 91, thank you, Jesus. You will find him when you will seek him with all of your heart. The Bible says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, I love the King James. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Watch that statement. He that dwells. To dwell is not to step in for half an hour, 10 minutes and walk out. To dwell is to stay. Nikuka. Kwikala. Trying to find a strong word. To dwell is to stay. He who stays in the secret. Oh. It's not just the outer court sort of guys. It's the person that seeks to be at the Holy of Holies. Secret place of the Most High God. It's one who seeks to be intimate with him. The word that Moses is using, the word to know, is a word that is used between a husband and a wife. To know your wife. That's a word. I'm sure I'm speaking to the mature. You know? That's a word used. It's the same word that used, and Adam knew his wife. He's talking about a depth in God, ladies and gentlemen, that God wants us to seek. An intimacy with God that is so close. And the Bible says right there that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Another word, same word abide. It's actually the same. It's a play of words. They're dwelling and abiding. You know, shall abide. In other words, shall dwell, shall stay under the shadow. Goodness me. When the shadow of God is over your life, yani kivuli cha Bwana. Yani chucha ngai. I'm using a revelation, a Greek word here. Chu. Ay. Yani when God's shadow is all over your life. Oh my goodness. Oh. Oh my gosh. You walk under the shadow. You dwell under the shadow. Yani when the sun is shining, under the shadow. When people are scared, under the shadow. When there is no money with others, you are under the shadow. When everybody's getting scorched with the economy, you're under the shadow. It's not scorching you. You abide under the shadow of your might. And listen to what he says. He will abide, and I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. See what he says after that. David is not scared. David is not suggesting. David is not assuming. Say, surely. Yani kwa kweli. Hakika. He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. When you have learned to dwell under the shadow, ata maadui wako wafanye nini? Even when your enemies sit down and come up with plans, they can't touch you. David says, surely he will deliver me. In other words, even when the witches and the witchers come from your village and they send a letter, even when they take your stuff, your money, you know, some of you that have gone back home and they take your money, watch out. They go and put it in a box and they put a chameleon stepping on your money. Witches have all kinds of, I'm telling you. Hey. Ora mzee kobe anaitwa aje? Tortoise, yes. You know those slow animals? To slow you. They're stepping on your money. To slow you down. Even when they try that, they will not succeed. I say they will not succeed now. Hey! Do you know how many even witches come to our church, Pastor? But they have no idea. Me, I've learned to dwell under the shadow. So they sit down and there with their remote. They're trying to switch me on and switch me off. Say, my goodness, oh my gosh, you don't know what I'm talking about. And often times I'm hearing people screaming. And you know what? They actually began to bother me one time, Pastor. You are preaching and a witch is thus being caught by the power of God. They begin to scream. I was, one time I went to deliver one and he said, you know what? The fellow could not even speak Swahili. He was from Ukambani someplace, but now the demons are speaking in Swahili. I mean, I got to know lighter that actually he didn't know Swahili, but the demons were speaking Swahili. Tumetumwa kukuanga meza. I said, nani? Not me. Try elsewhere. Try next door. So I've learned to dwell. Surely he will deliver. Hallelujah. When you've learned to abide in the secret place of the Most High God. You know, we experience these things back home. You know, maybe here there are no witches, there are no wizards. You guys are blessed. God bless you. So you don't need to worry. But some of us have to teach some of these things and do a lot of deliverance. So when they began to bother me, I said, God, you did not call me to be delivering people when I'm supposed to be preaching. So when they began to scream, I would tell my ashes, take them and go cast out the devil. Yeah, I don't want to waste my time here. Toka. No. Go. I want to preach because I realized the enemy was also using it to deter me from sharing the word of God. But all I want you to understand, the Bible says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Even when any pestilence talks in the night or comes across the nation, God says, he will surely. look at a neighbor now and begin to preach with them. I'm finishing. Tell them, neighbor, surely he will deliver you from the pestilence that stalks at night. Amen. And from the noisome, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Even when you are sleeping on a bed that has no mattress. You know those stories. You know, this is America. I said everything is cozy, and I love this place. Seriously, everything is big. Cars are big. The plates are big. The bottles are big. The cups are big. The food is big, and the people are big. Everything is big here. I seriously, I came in and I said, well, I thought I was big, man. I'm small. Hey! Hey! And so everything is cozy. God bless you. Wow. Wow. But some of us come from a place, Pastor, where we used to sleep on beds that were made with wood. And there was no mattress. The mattress that was some sacks, and there you slept. Hallelujah. But heaven says, even when you are sleeping there, he will cover you with his feathers. In other words, he will be your pillow, and he will be your mattress, and he will be your duvet. Hey, and under his wings shalt thou trust. In other words, when you need to go places, when you need to fulfill a dream, when you need to see a vision come to pass, you will fly on his wings. He says, under his wings shalt thou trust. In other words, you know God will take you there. You know God will do what he said he would do. You know God will take you where he said he will take you. You know God will say he will fulfill what he said he would do. Let me finish because my time is gone. He says, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Are you seeing this now? This is not for everyone. This is for those who dwell in the secret place. This is favor that Moses is talking about. Lord, that I may know you. Because when I know you, when I've been to the place of intimacy, the place of dwelling in your presence, oh God, 1,000 can follow my side, 10,000, but it shall not hurt me. I wish I had a witness in here. It shall not come near to you, he says. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, you made God the place you dwell. You don't dwell everywhere. You dwell in the Lord. Because you've made him your habitation. Every blessing. 1,000 will fall on the left, 1,000 on the right. Pestilences, left, right, and center. Witches and wizards. Will try seek stuff against you, tricks on you, but nothing shall come to thee. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You will tread the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. Now God is speaking. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and holding him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. Oh, come on now. Shake a neighbor. Tell them, dwell. You need to command them. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Hallelujah. No longer David says, he is my shepherd and I will not want. Even though I walk through stuff, he is my shepherd. He is my friend. I've known him and I've loved him and I will not be scared of nothing. And I love this one. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'll echo the words of a singer, Beko, who said, don't pray for your enemies to die. Pray for that they live. Because they need to live to see. You being lifted. I'm prophesying now. They'll need to live to see you being lifted. You being blessed beyond measure. You must celebrate when they see. You must move in high places when they see. You must move in the anointing of God when they see. Don't ask them to, Lord, keep them, Lord. They will be my witness to see what you have done in my life. Bow your head. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless you this afternoon and give you glory and honor and praise, oh God. I adore you, dear Lord, and I magnify you. Thank you, Father, for just speaking to us to encourage us today. Oh, I pray, Lord, that in this house, you will find a people that will just begin to get tired of where they are and will begin to desire for more of you, to step into another level with you they have never been before, to come to a place of experiencing, of knowing, of being intimate with you so much, oh God, that they have never been before. Because the secret of success, oh God, is not in chasing after stuff and chasing after success. The secret of success is being to the place of dwelling, in the place of God, in the presence of God. The secret of success is in knowing you, oh God, is in loving you, Father, is in seeking your face. You told Joshua, this book of the law would not depart from you, but on it you would meditate day and night. And Lord, when Joshua would meditate, you told him, then shall you be successful and shall you prosper, oh God. I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, in this house, you'll find 10 people. You'll find 20, oh God, that are willing to say, Lord, it doesn't matter where I come from, and it doesn't matter what education I have or who I am and the color of my skin, but Lord, I want to know you so much so, because I know I can be a David, small, yes, but anointed of God to bring change and transformation in my neighborhood, to bring change and transformation in my place of work, to bring change and transformation in our business, to bring change and transformation to the glory of God. Lord, you are able to use me to declare your kingdom in this nation. I pray, Lord, you will find yourself a people in this house that are willing, Lord, to get to the place of seeking God until they find him. The Bible says that you will find me if you will seek me with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul. I pray, find yourself a people here, Lord. The Moseses of this generation. The Pauls that say that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, to be joined in him in his suffering, that somehow I may attain. Oh God, I pray, find yourself a people in this house that are willing to look for God, to seek God until they find him. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I release your blessing upon these hands. While they do that, according to the scriptures that we read, may they experience the favor of God in a measure that they've never experienced before. May they experience the blessings of God in their lives in a way that they've never experienced before. May they experience your breakthrough everywhere they go in a manner they've never experienced before. I pray that you will find yourself a people here that will learn and desire to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. And on their lives, Father, that you will release the grace, the anointing, the favor, and the blessing that comes for those who are intimate with God. We thank you.
You give the Lord a hand clap of praise.